The righteous are blessed by the Lord, but the wicked will perish.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, how many of you know that there are some crazy people in this world, aren't there? Some very crazy people who do some rather questionable, crazy things. And in fact, I have this on good authority. But in his youth, your pastor may or may not have been one of those people who did some crazy things. Or am I the only, come on, who here wants to admit, you did, maybe did some crazy things in your youth? All right, we've got a few of us here then, right? Well, I want to give you, I think you already knew that there were some crazy people in this world, but just to demonstrate that, I want to show you, give you some examples of this. How about this guy right here? Anybody want to do that? This is a famous photograph, a spot for photography in Brazil. And you can see people love to go there and walk out onto the edge of that rock and get their picture taken there. So there's that guy right there. I don't think I would do that, right? But you know what? There's actually even crazier guys than that guy right there. How about this guy right there? Would you do that? I don't think I would do that. Yeah, that's pretty rough. But how many of you know that for every crazy person, there's a crazier person? And for every crazier person, there's a craziest person. Here's the craziest guy of all. How about this guy right there? Huh? Would you do that? Would you do that? I don't think I would do that. I don't think I would do that at all. But I want you to know something, though, folks. I want you to know, as crazy as that all looks right there, things are not always as they appear, are they? Who knows where I'm going next with the next picture right here? Things are not always as they appear. Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective because we see pictures, and believe me, there's thousands of these pictures out there that you can get, some even nuttier stuff than this. I didn't want to upset you, but there's even ones with parents dangling their kids over there. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to go there with you with that. But they're out there, okay? But keep in mind, things aren't always as they appear because if you pull back from that a little bit, that's what you see. You see? So it's actually just a few feet down. It's the perspective of the camera that makes it look like that. And so then, see this guy right there? There's another. There's the truth. There's the reality of it. See, the ground is only a few feet below him there. So that's why people love to go there. And they'll do all kinds of nutty things. And you get the camera in just the right angle, the right perspective there, it looks totally different then, doesn't it? Well, I want to talk to us today about perspective, the way things appear versus reality, and talk about the perspective that we ought have on life, what a more realistic approach to life ought to look like, how there's different ways of going through life. There is the way of the righteous, the perspective of the righteous, and then there is the way of the wicked, the perspective of the wicked. And the Lord knows these ways. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Today we're going to look in Psalms. Just for this week and next week, we're just going to take a look at a couple of Psalms. We finished our series on one-to-one discipleship last week. And so for today and next week, I thought as we've been studying the Psalms in our Wonder Lake Bible Institute class, we've had some great discussions in there, and I thought, you know what, let's bring this for our whole church family here. So we're going to look at Psalm 1 today, in which it tells us that the Lord knows the way of the righteous, that the righteous are blessed by the Lord, but the wicked will perish. The righteous are blessed by the Lord, but the wicked will perish. So before we look at Psalm 1 here, a little context here. As you know, the book of Psalms, it was, you might say, the songbook or the hymnal, if you will, for God's people, Israel, for the Jews. It was a book of praises. The word psalm literally means a song or a praise. So it's the book of praises, the book of songs. They were written by, of course, there's one divine author of all of them. But there are a number of different human authors, but most of them, of course, were written by David. And that would have been about 1,000 years before the time of Christ when that occurred then. And there are different types of psalms. There are some psalms that proclaim God's majesty in nature, and psalms that call us to praise, psalms that were designed to be sung when one was going to the temple to worship, songs that are crying out for deliverance from protection from one's enemies. So there's all kinds of different psalms here. But in today, this psalm then today is a meditation, if you will, on that right prayer. This is a wisdom psalm that talks about the right way, the right perspective to have in going through life. Because things can look very, very different according to your perspective. Just like with those pictures, right? It looked like one thing, but the reality was quite something else. And so God calls us to be wise, to see things for what they really are, not for how they appear. So in this wisdom psalm, we are invited to consider, to reflect upon the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked. So let's look at Psalm 1 then. We're told, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So here's two perspectives, two ways of going through life, the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked, and that we are told that the person, the way of the righteous, is blessed of the Lord. So we're going to consider in this psalm here, let's meditate on this a little bit together here, about the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked. First, the way of the righteous, the way of the righteous. We see that the righteous avoid intimate association with the wicked. That the righteous avoid intimate association with the wicked. Now you notice here, I'm putting that word in there, I'm saying intimate association. Are the righteous to avoid entirely any association at all with wicked people, with sinners? No, of course not. How can the church, how can we be salt and light in the world if we have absolutely nothing to do with unbelievers? We can't do that, can we? You can't be salt and light if you're not out there in the world. But as the scriptures also tell us, what? That we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And there's a big difference there, right? So the scripture says we're not to completely avoid, to have nothing whatsoever to do with unrighteous people. But what we are to do, though, is to avoid an intimate association with them. We might ask the question, some will say, well, I need to be with these people because I need to influence them for the gospel. And that's true, but sometimes if we can form these intimate associations such that you might wonder, okay, who's really influencing whom here, right? And so we need to be careful with that, of avoiding intimate association with the wicked. Because notice what it says there. It says that blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. See, that's implying a close association. That's adopting the attitudes, the perspective, if you will, adopting the attitudes and the perspective and the ways of wicked people, that we are not to do that. So the blessed person does not do that. Let's talk for a minute about being blessed. How many of you believe that God blesses his people? I do, right? Scripture's very clear about that. But sometimes in our day and age, we can misunderstand what Scripture says, take it out of its context. So when the Scriptures say that righteous people are blessed, some of us might have an idea that somebody will go immediately to some kind of material or financial gain of sorts. Well, I'm gonna shock. I believe that God does materially, financially bless his people as he wills, right? That's the key thing. As he wills, when he wills. I believe that. But what is a problem, though, is this teaching, though, that says what? That it is always God's will or God's desire for us all of his people, to have great wealth and blessing financially, materially. That clearly is not what the Scriptures teach. But as God wills, does he bless? I got news for you. As Americans here, we're blessed, right? We're blessed compared to many believers around the world, right? But God does bless materially, financially, as he wills. But this is not, I think, what is in mind here by this blessing. Because usually when the Scriptures speak of blessing, it's talking about a spiritual blessing, right? That there is a great blessing, that the one who knows the Lord and is walking in faith and obedience with the Lord is ultimately well off. So this blessing, it's being in a condition or in a place of receiving God's favor. There are elements of that here and now, but of course, ultimately, eternally speaking, in the new heaven and the new earth and the resurrected body, boy, that's going to be some great blessing there, isn't it? But I think right here, we're saying that spiritually blessed is the person who does not do this, but instead does this. So let's look at what the spiritually blessed person, the righteous, does not do. And one of the things the spiritually blessed, the righteous person, does not do is engage in intimate association with wickedness, with wicked people. It says they do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What is counsel? C-O-U-N-S-E-L is what? In one word, another word for counsel would be what? Advice, right? Now, does this mean that unbelievers never have any practical wisdom or advice that we can learn from? No, it isn't saying that. But this is saying what? This kind of counsel is the counsel that is what? It's an ungodly counsel. It's a totally wrong perspective counsel. And so the righteous then do not walk. They don't take spiritual advice from people who don't have the right spiritual perspective on things. So they do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the way of sinners. Again, in the Scriptures, the way is it's a lifestyle, right? Philosophies, lifestyle. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. They're what? They don't sit down and sit in the seat together, engaging in intimate fellowship with the scoffer. And when you think of a scoffer, that's one of those words that just saying the word kind of brings it. Scoffer, I think, well, you can almost hear that scoff, right? Scoffers, shh, come on, come, right? So the righteous person doesn't take the advice of the wicked, doesn't stand in the way, doesn't adopt their attitudes and philosophies and ways of doing things. And they certainly don't sit down with them and engage in this scoffing, this wrong perspective on life, this anti-God and God's truth perspective on life. The person who does not do that is blessed. So that's one thing they don't do. They don't do those things, so they avoid intimate association with the wicked. I want you to notice there's a little progression there. You notice how it starts off? It says they don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. It's almost like you're walking along with the wicked, and then you stop and you're standing with them, and then what do? Then you're sitting down with them. You see that progression there? I think it's deliberate, you know, that it is expressed that way. You see that progression, don't you? Walking, standing, sitting. You see that increasing influence there, right? So be careful of that. Avoid that. So if they don't do that, well, what do they? They avoid intimate association. Well, what else do they do? Well, the scripture says here then, but rather the righteous, they delight in the law of the Lord. So rather than delighting in the counsel of the wicked and the scoffers, they delight in the law of the Lord. To delight is what? It's what they find there. Their joy in. This book, the scriptures, the law of the Lord, while it can the law of the Lord can mean different things. It can mean, you know, specific commandments of God. It can mean the entirety of God's word. It can mean the promises of God. This is all the law of the Lord. And so when we delight in the law of the Lord, it's not saying that we delight in a book for the sake of the book itself, right? It's saying what? We delight in the Lord who is revealed in this book. The Lord has revealed himself in his law. And so our delight is not in a book per se. Our delight is in the Lord who has revealed himself in his law, which is in this book. That is this book right here, revealed here for us. So when we delight in the law of the Lord, well, ultimately, we're delighting in the Lord himself, aren't we? And so we are finding our joy, our ultimate joy in life ought to be the Lord. Delighting ourselves in him and in his law. Now, I know that God gives good gifts, and there are many delightful things. I have to tell you, you know, for you non-sports fans, I promise not to dwell on this or keep going back to us, but how many Cubs fans here are kind of breathing a little sigh of relief here? You know, that things are going, that they're being the team that we think they ought to be or should be, right? So we delight in that. And I tell you, how about when Javi Baez goes from first base to home on one errant throw, which leads to something, and next thing you know, he's crossing the plate, and he's doing the things that only Javi does with the swim slide and that, right? Well, I delight in that. I enjoy that. But boy, that certainly shouldn't be what my life is all about. The man, I live for baseball. Rather, well, I enjoy baseball. I enjoy that and other things in life. But ultimately, my delight isn't in that. My delight, our delight needs to be what? In the Lord, in the law of the Lord. And the relationship with the Lord that comes through the law, his law, how he's revealed himself. So we delight in God's revelation of himself. So the righteous avoid intimate association with the wicked, but rather they delight in God, in the law of the Lord, in his revelation of himself. Well, if God has revealed himself in this law, in this book, in this word, it certainly then behooves us to do what? To meditate. Meditate on God's law. Maybe 5 minutes a month, right? 5 minutes a day. No. Constantly meditate on God's law day and night. In other words, this is the fixation of our lives, is that we are always thinking on God and God's word. To meditate. Now, that's a word that can have some different connotations. here with that. And there's biblical, probably a lot of you hear the word meditate. Some of us instantly think of like this Eastern religious concept of meditation, which is not, which is in view here, right? The Eastern concept of meditation is what one sits down and just like what empties your mind and maybe says a word over and over again or something like that, meditate. Emptying your mind, and who knows what's going to come in when you empty your mind that way, right? That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation, yeah, there is a quietness, but it's a quietness in the presence of the Lord in which one does not empty his or her mind, but instead does what? Fills it. Fills it with the Word of God. So biblical meditation is filling the mind with the Word of God, reading it, studying it, asking how it applies, and then that's it, right? You read it, you study it, you see what it, you come to understand, you read it, you figure out what the text means, you consider how the text applies, and then you're done, right? Uh-oh, that's right. What about doing it, Steve? That's the important last step there, right? Living it out, doing it, being obedient. See, that's biblical meditation. In quietness before God, filling our hearts, our minds with His Word, seeking to understand, to read it, to understand what it means in its original context, what the author's intent of it is there. Apply. How does this apply in my life, the specifics of this? And then once I've done that, then that's obeying it. Living it out. See, and so biblical meditation, we're constantly chewing over the truth of God's Word, asking what it means, how it applies, and acting on it, being obedient to it. See, so for the righteous person then, who's avoiding intimate association with the wicked, is delighting in the law of God, is meditating on God's law day and night, well, the Scripture promises that, you see, the person who does that is like a tree planted by water. When you think of that, when you think of a tree planted by water, do you picture some dead, drying up, old, little, tiny twig? What do you picture? Strong, healthy, green, vibrant, fruitful tree. Why? Because it's planted right by the water. It needs that water to live, doesn't it? See, you and I, your soul, your spirit, me, we need water. We need physical water, don't we, for our bodies? But we need water for our souls, for our spirits. See, and the Word of God is that refreshing water that saves and soothes, nourishes, equips. Remember the story of Jesus with the woman at the well, where he asked for a drink of water? He wanted some physical water because he was physically thirsty, so he asked her for a drink. And then he says to her, if you knew who it was that was asking you, you'd ask him for it. He would give you water that you'd never have to draw. You'd never have to come and draw here again. He'd give you water. It would spring up inside of you. It would be a well that would never run dry. You would always have it. Well, I want this water. And then Jesus came to show her. He was talking about a spiritual water, spiritual refreshment, salvation and hope. And refreshment ongoing for our souls, right? So the righteous person then is like that tree planted by the water that has that never-ending source of spiritual refreshment. And a tree like that, that has that source, no matter how dry it may be all around, because it has that source of water right there, it yields fruit. But I find it, notice it says it yields its fruit in season. There are seasons in our life, aren't there? And there are, sometimes we're in a dry, has anyone ever been in a dry season? Some of you are in a dry season right now. But when we persevere in God's Word, we will yield fruit in its season. What is this fruit? Well, a literal tree gives the literal fruit of an apple or an orange or whatever it might be. But the righteous tree will yield the fruit of righteousness. Righteous conduct, thinking, behavior, right? So it's righteous character and righteous conduct. That's the fruit that the righteous yield in season. This is the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous. But it's contrasted, though, with the wicked. They also, then, the righteous prosper in all they do. They prosper in all they do. So, you see, right there, there's the proof right there that God wants us all to be rich, right? See, it says they prosper in all they do. They get rich. Well, I would suggest to you, you know what? It's true. We do get rich. But it's a spiritual riches, isn't it? And we'll prosper in all we do. That sometimes even when things look bleak, when we are persevering in with the Lord, ultimately He is working for the prosperity of our souls, isn't He? We'll prosper in all that we do. It's a spiritual prosperity there. But what about the wicked? Well, the wicked, not so. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked are not like the righteous. It's not this way with them. It's a different way for them. They don't delight in the law of the Lord. They don't meditate on the law, though. They don't want to know Him. They will not be. They're not fruitful trees. They will not prosper in all they do. Not so with the wicked. They're not like the righteous. And in fact, the wicked, though, are like chaff that the wind drives away. You know, in their day, they would, when it came time for harvest, harvesting the grain, the wheat, there was the grain inside, but around it was a little hard shell called the chaff. And you had to get the chaff away so that you could have the grain. Of course, with the grain, then what? You can grind it, make it into flour. Well, how would you get the grain separated from that chaff shell around it? Well, it was actually something that was very easy. This chaff, it was just a very little shell around it that it could be easily separated. If you just threw it up in the air, the wind would actually blow it away, and the grain then would fall down. You know, the story of Boaz and Ruth, in the book of Ruth, you see that gleaning going on there with that. So you'd throw it up into the air and the chaff would just be blown away and the grain would remain. So it says the wicked then, they're not like the righteous, rather like the chaff that the wind drives away. It just isn't harvest time. The chaff is separated from the fruit, the grain, if you will. It's going to be blown away, separated. And so it will be with the wicked, that they're going to be separated from the righteous at the end times harvest. And they're going to be go away. In fact, they will not stand in the judgment. Will not stand in the judgment. See, the scriptures tell us that all people are going to face judgment. Every person who has ever lived will face the judgment of God. There is the first judgment, which we might call the judgment of faith. You know, are you in right relationship with God or not? Is your faith in Christ or not? Right? That's the first one. But then also then, all persons will face a judgment of works. For the believer, though, it's not a judgment of sin. It's a judgment of what have we done with our lives in Christ? Not for the purpose of discipline or punishment, but what? For the purpose of reward. But for the unbeliever, it's a judgment of works. How have they lived their life? That they're going to be judged for what they have done. It's a judgment of punishment for sin. And so the wicked then will not stand in that judgment. They'll not stand in the congregation. They will not share in the blessings of the righteous. See, and there's that perspective. Life can look one way, but the reality is quite something different altogether, isn't it? Because sometimes we can go through that. In fact, there's a psalm, one of my favorite psalms, my favorite wisdom psalm, Psalm 73, that talks about where the man there is struggling with this perspective sometimes. Like Lord, why is it seems that the righteous aren't being blessed, and it's the wicked who just seem to have such a great life? Well, I think there's already a perspective problem in there. But let's just say, he's talking about how the righteous are. It's just a miserable sometimes being righteous, and life is hard, and meanwhile life is just so great for the wicked. And then he realizes, oh, I've got a perspective problem here, don't I? In light of the end judgment here, how things are actually going to be, how it's all going to turn out. And so for the wicked, they will not stand in the judgment. They won't share in the blessings of the righteous. In fact, they will not live. They will not have life, eternal life. In fact, they will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, right? Will have everlasting life, will not perish. The perish of eternal condemnation, judgment. So what? What do you want me to do with this here today? Well, I remind us where we started when we said the righteous are blessed by the Lord here and now, yes, but certainly eternally blessed, the recipients of his love and his favor. The righteous are blessed by the Lord, but the wicked will perish. They won't stand in the judgment. So I want to remind us again of that perspective. Things may appear one way, but the reality might be quite something else altogether, right? So however life may appear, it is the one who is rightly related to God and whose delight is in the law of the Lord who is blessed. So I'd ask you, do you need a perspective adjustment? What are you living for? Are you living for the here and the now and the way things appear? Or are you living for the eternal delight in the law of the Lord? And I ask, who are you listening to? Whose counsel are you walking in? The counsel of the world? Or the counsel of the law of God? The counsel of the Lord? So do you need a perspective adjustment? Who are you listening to? And finally, then, what are you meditating on? Now, I know, and I know this bothers me. I'll just say this here. I know that you're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, but you know how awkward it is to not, you know, to do that? To whom are you listening? On what are you meditating? That's grammatically correct there, but forget that. Just can somebody forgive my poor grammar there? See, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for extending your grace to me on that. So what are you listening to? What are you meditating on? Right? Do you need a perspective adjustment? Who are you listening to? Who's informing your perspectives? And what is your soul delighting in and meditating on? Is it the law of the Lord? Because the righteous are blessed and are like the tree planted by the stream of water that yields fruit in its season, who will stand in the judgment and will have life eternal. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word which guides us and directs us. God, I pray that our delight would be in you, Lord, and in your law, that we would meditate on it day and night. Thank you for the blessings and the hope that we have in the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we follow him. May we obey him faithfully. May we be light and salt in this community, wherever, Lord, you have placed us. And do all of this, we pray, for the glory of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.